We begin the current daf in Saftik Subas Daf Pei Tes. We begin on the bottom line of Daf Pei Chesma Beis. We begin the next Mishnah. Again, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah is regarding when a woman is coming to collect a ksuba in a compromised situation. That is, generally, if a woman comes with a ksuba and she was either divorced or widowed, she collects her ksuba. However, as we learned in the previous Mishnah, there are certain situations where we require certain implementations, like, for example, making an oath. So our Mishnah speaks about different types of cases. For example, Haitzia get ve'enim ksuba. Let's say she produces her get, so she proves that she's divorced. However, she doesn't present her ksuba. And as Rashi explains, the assumption of the Gemara is that she claims that I lost my document of my ksuba. But obviously I'm divorced. And we know every woman gets a ksuba. So although I don't have my paper of my ksuba, she wants to collect a ksuba. So now we continue on top of Pei Tesem et Aleph, where the Mishnah says, Gaivu ksubasa, she can actually collect her ksuba. And the chiddush of this is, the novelty is, that he can't claim, what do you mean? I paid you up already. Yes, of course you're divorced, but I gave you a ksuba. And the proof of that is you don't have a ksuba document. Why don't you have one? Because you gave it to me when I paid you up the ksuba, you gave me the document, and I tore it up. Now, he cannot make such a claim. The reason for this is, and that's the chiddush in this halacha, is because the condition of the ksuba is what's called a maisa bezinu. It's an institution of the courts. And actually, from here, the Gemara learns in Maseches Baba Metzia that what's called hatoyin achar maisa bezinu, if someone makes a claim that in regards to what would be a legitimate claim of the other person coming from the rights of the courts, it's loy maklum. The person hasn't said anything. The person cannot say that the maisa bezinu is invalid. And what's the reason for that is? And the reason for that is because what's called any act of bezdin, which is the requirement of a woman to have a ksuba, is as if she's holding a document. So although she's not holding a document, but since the maisa bezdin says that she gets her ksuba, so therefore, even though she's not presenting a ksuba, it's like she is holding a ksuba, and therefore he can't claim that I already paid it up for you. And therefore, unless he could bring proofs with witnesses to say that he paid it up, just by virtue of saying, wait, you don't have a ksuba document, the reason why you don't have it is because I paid it up already and I tore it up, he's not believed. And by just bringing her get to show that she's divorced, so hence, obviously, she's appropriate to collect a ksuba, he can't claim that he already paid it and she gets a ksuba. Now, what's with the other way around? Let's say ksuba ve'inim get. Let's say she presents her ksuba, so she definitely has the document that it wasn't paid up, but she doesn't present with a get. Now, he imeris avid giti. Now, the thing is that her husband's alive and she wasn't divorced yet, where she's not holding a get, then obviously she can't collect the ksuba because she's still married. You have to be divorced and that your ksuba wasn't paid up. So she claims, he imeris avid giti, she says that I lost my get. Now, there's two reasons why she doesn't have the get. Essentially, there could be three reasons. Either that she's not divorced, or, like she's claiming, that is, I was divorced, I have a get, it just got lost. And because the third option is that actually that she got divorced with a get, but she presented the get, as we saw in the previous halacha of the Mishnah, she presented the get to the husband, and he tore it up when she went to collect her ksuba, because or else she's going to keep on presenting her get, because as we said in the previous halacha, if you have a get without a ksuba, you could collect your ksuba. So she's saying that, no, it's not that I'm not divorced, and it's not that I used my get to collect the ksuba, and that's why I don't have it, it's just that I lost it. V'hoimer, no, he says, avid shevari. He says, no, you know why she doesn't have a get? It's because she already came to court, and she used it to collect her ksuba. And the reason was because, as in the previous halacha says, she says, I lost my shtar ksuba. So based on that, Bezdin goes and collects her ksuba just by her presenting her get. And he says, I tore up her get so that she can continue coming and collecting. Now, moreover, and this is significant for the Yarshim, for the inheritors, she even wrote for me a shaver, a receipt that she already collected the ksuba. And the reason being is because even if she would come to my inheritors after I die, and she would present the document of the ksuba, and of course she wouldn't be able to collect based on the gerushin because she wouldn't have the get anymore, because that's why he ripped it up the first time she came to collect it. But she'll be able to claim that I was never even divorced, she'll say. She'll say, I just was widowed, and therefore I was never paid up. So he says that therefore she even gave me a receipt that I made sure in that circumstance that she wouldn't be able to collect from my yarshim, but even that I lost. So therefore, they're disputing about why she doesn't have the get. Is it because she already paid up? Is it because he paid up and therefore he tore it up and therefore she has no rights for a ksuba? Or is it like she's claimed that she's saying, no, I never collected, I just lost my get? So that's one case. Similarly, is regarding a creditor that lost his document after a shmita year, where generally all loans are exonerated, there's no requirement to pay a loan after the seventh year of the shmita cycle. So if a creditor that is presenting a loan, a debt, but ve'enimai prusbul, but he doesn't have a prusbul. Now the Gemara Masechtas Gittin explains on Daf Lamed Aleph Beis that Hillel was mesaken what's called a prusbul. Now the reason for this is because if a person gives a loan anytime during the first 6 years, when the seventh year comes, it totally is mishamet, it invalidates any debts. A person has a clean slate. Now the problem with that is that people stop giving loans because they realize if the guy doesn't pay up shmita, he's going to be exempt. So what Hill did, because he didn't want to have that people are not going to have anywhere to borrow anymore, he found a patent how to get out of this halachic problem, which is that people give their, quote, their documents to Beis Din, to the courts, and the courts will collect the debt from the borrower as long as the person wants to, because now you don't violate the biblical prohibition of what's called loyigis, which is that a person can't claim anymore the debt after the Shemitah year because the person's not claiming it. It's the courts that's claim the courts, and the courts are allowed to because of the principle of hefke Beis Din. Hefke, regarding monetary law, Beis Din is allowed to do whatever they want in that regards. And therefore, they could go down to the person's estate and collect it. So therefore, if this creditor has a prusbul, he go ahead and collect even after Shemitah year. But he doesn't have a prusbul. Now, this is where the dispute starts. This guy claims, the debtor says, Shemitah already was Meshamet, I don't owe you anything. The creditor says, no, I had a prusbul that Shemitah will not exempt you from the debt. It's just I lost a prusbul, which is again similar to the previous case of the woman where she says that I have my ksuba, I just lost my get. So regarding both of these halachas, the Mishnah says, Hare elu lo yifro, that they cannot go ahead and collect. Now, the reason being is because by both of them, we are concerned, A, first of all, maybe she really did collect with the get, and that's why she doesn't have it anymore because he tore it up. And it's not like the previous case of where you don't have a ksuba and you're presenting a get, because a ksuba is a maisa Beis Din, that as if she's holding a shtar of ksuba, which you don't have in this case. And also regarding this case too, is that here we say that Shemitah was Meshamet, and we don't assume that the person had a prusbul, and therefore if the person doesn't have the prusbul, he cannot go ahead and collect. Now, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, he says, in regards to the second case of the Mishnah, which are these two cases of the woman and the Baal Chayiv, he says that min hasakana ve'elach, from the time of danger and onward, which was that the non-Jews made decrees that the Jewish people cannot keep the mitzvahs, and the Jews were afraid to hold on to the gittin. And the moment the woman would receive her divorce document, she would burn it because or else you're keeping Jewish law. What are you doing with a Jewish divorce document? So too regarding a prusbul. The non-Jews didn't allow that. So, and it was dangerous to hold on to these documents. So he says from that point onward, actually, Isha gave a ksuba sashle beget. He says that a woman could collect a ksuba even without a get. Ubachayv gave a shlebe prusbul, and the balchayv, a creditor, could collect without a prusbul because we can assume that they're holding their documents. He has his document. He just doesn't have a prusbul. And the woman has her ksuba. She just doesn't have a get. The reason for that is because they're afraid of the non-Jewish authorities. However, the fact that they don't have it does not show that they're wrong, because it's just for that purpose of their safety of their life. And therefore, they could collect both the ksuba and the prusbul. Now the Gemara says, Shema Mina. The Gemara makes an inference from the ratio of the first case of the Mishnah, where we say when the woman just presents her get without a ksuba, that she could collect her ksuba just by bringing the get, and that we're not concerned for what's called harama, which is subterfuge, that the woman will use some type of a sham. In other words, what the woman could potentially do is that she can go ahead, if you allow her to collect her ksuba just with a get, and not with her ksuba, she could say, oh, I lost my ksuba. Now, what she could do is that once she collects with her get, she can go to a different court at a later point and then present her ksuba which she really had. And she can moreover go to after he's dead, and she could say that I'm an almana, I'm a widow, and I was never divorced and I never collected. Now, as Rashi explains, he says most definitely she can't go ahead and collect as a grusha, meaning that if let's say she's going to one court, she's collecting with her get, and then she didn't present her ksuba. So we gave her the ksuba because it's called a Maisa Bezdin. So Rashi says she can't present in another court just with her ksuba and say that, oh, I was divorced, I want to collect my ksuba. And the reason is because, as we explained, they tear up her get. And therefore, when she later presents with just a ksuba without a get, that's the second case of omission that we learned, that actually harei lo yifro. You cannot collect just with a ksuba and not with a get, because without a get, you're not proving anything. Now, however, as Rashi points out, there is a concern that we should have, which is what the Gemara's inference is from, is that as maybe she's going to wait until after he dies. Then she's going to go to the Yerushim, and she's going to collect because she's Namana, which has nothing to do with Gerushin. She doesn't need to present a get. Now, all you have to do is present a ksuba. He's dead. You bring a ksuba, you collect. Now, from the fact that we're not concerned about that, which seemingly, again, is a legitimate taina, which is if she's collecting just with a get without a ksuba, maybe she really has the ksuba. As a divorcee, that's not going to help her at all, because you have to have the get also. Just without a get, that's the second case the mishnah doesn't help. But if he dies, let's say 5 years later, and then she says, oh, here's my ksuba. I'm collecting as a widow. So on that, the Gemara says that obviously you can infer that if we're not concerned with that, and we will pay out her ksuba even just by bringing a get, that obviously kaisin shaver, obviously against the will of the borrower, we require him to write a receipt, and the lender to write a receipt to the borrower, and that the borrower can say, wait a second, no way, I'm not paying up until the lender gives me back the document, the deed that I owe him money, that there was a loan. Because maybe at a later point in time, if I'm going to pay him up, he might just wait some time, and a few years later, he's going to go to a different court and say, look, here's the deed, he owes me $100. From our Mishnah, we could infer that no, we tell the borrower you have to pay up, but the lender will write a receipt for you. And therefore, if he ever produces the document, you'll have a receipt to show that you paid it up. Which this is actually machlokes mesechtes Baba Basra daf kof ayin mabeis. If we force the borrower to pay up, even though the lender is not producing the document, by him receiving a receipt from the lender. Now, the question of this, of the Gemara is that we paskin, we follow the opinion that says that we do not write a receipt. The reason being why we don't write a receipt is because then the borrower forever will have to hold on to a receipt, and it could be ruined by mice and by different elements, and therefore we don't require him to pay up to get a receipt. Rather, we say until the lender produces a document, he's not going to pay up. Now, from our Mishnah, it seemingly is not like that. That obviously we do write a receipt. And the reason being is because because if the halacha would be that we don't write a receipt, well then, lechish dilma mafkala. Then again, as we said before, we have to be concerned that maybe after he's dead, she's going to produce liksubasa, she's going to present her ksuba, figavyaba, and then she's going to collect because as namana. So if you're allowing it to be collected just with a get, without a ksuba, how do we know she doesn't really have it somewhere? Now again, as a divorcee, that doesn't make a difference because the ksuba itself is not going to get her anywhere. But when he dies, then she'll claim that she's namana, and then she could collect without a get, just with a ksuba. And if we're not concerned with that, because then she's getting double the amount, that's not allowed. From the fact we're not concerned from that, obviously because we write a receipt, and therefore the inheritors will have the receipt to show that she already collected. But obviously we see that we require a payment even if the document is not there because of receipts. So Amar Rav says, no, it's not a difficulty. That truthfully is like we paskin over there in the Gemara that we don't write receipts. But our Mishnah is talking about b'mokim she'en kaisim ksubaskin. We're talking about where they don't write ksubas. When the husband and wife get married, they just rely on the condition of bezin that every woman gets a ksuba. And therefore, when she's not going to be able to present a ksuba when she becomes a widow. Now, the only way that she's going to be able to collect in general ever is when she presents witnesses. Now, if that's the case, when she's a widow, if she's going to want to collect the ksuba, she's going to present witnesses, that's why we require a shaver, because there's no ksuba to be given back. There is no ksuba. Every woman gets a ksuba just by default. So what are you going to do when she becomes a widow, when she claims, hey, I'm a widow, so give me my ksuba? So that is why we have to write a shaver. But you're right, if it was a place that we wrote a ksuba, then we would not give her the ksuba just with presenting the get, because we would be concerned, and rather, to the contrary, she has to first present the ksuba, and if she doesn't, then we don't give her the ksuba, because we don't write sheivaras. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says that no. Af b'mokim shekaisin ksuba. He says that our mission is even talking about in a place where we write a ksuba, and still the halacha is going to be, if she presents a get, she'll get the ksuba. So the Gemara wonders. It's even in the place where they write a ksuba, so it comes out, Shmuel Kaisman Shaver. According to Shmuel, that we write a Shaver, but we said that the halach is generally that we do not write Shaivars. And if it's a place where there is the document, the deed is here, then she should have to present the ksuba. Because if not, she might present at a later point in time. And if she presents at a later point in time, she's going to collect again. Obviously, Shmuel is saying that we write Shaivars, but the halach is that we don't write Shaivars, we don't write receipts. So Amravan Ravan explains that that I heard this explanation from Shmuel. What does he mean to say that the Mishnah is even in a place that we write a ksuba? Is that truthfully is that, as we said, the halach is we don't write receipts. The person who's coming to collect has to bring the deed. Now, the reason why in our Mishnah we said that if she just presents her get, she collects her ksuba, that's because that if it's been mokum, there's actually two ways the Mishnah can be told about. A place that you don't write a ksuba, and where you do write a ksuba. And the primary chiddush of Shmuel versus Rav is going to be the second half, where even when we do write a ksuba. But it says follows as the way Rav Anan explains it. B'mokim she'en kaisin va'amr kasafti, if it's in a place where they generally do not write ksubas. But he says, I did write a ksuba. Now he's saying, she's coming just with a get. Now generally, if it's a place where they don't write a ksuba, so fine. They don't write ksubas, she comes with a get, you tear up the get, there's no way she'll be able to collect it at a later point in time. But he says, I did write her ksuba. I know most of the people around here don't, but I did. And if I'm afraid that if I'm going to, you're letting her collect just with a get, she's going to come a second point in time and present the ksuba. So that is the halacha that, no, we're still going to give her a ksuba because of love, lehevi raya. It's incumbent upon him to bring proof because we know most people don't. You're saying you did and you're worried about it, so bring proof. And if he brings proof, he brings witnesses that he did write a ksuba, so then you're right. Then she would not be able to collect just with the get itself because we don't write a shaiver. And if we don't write a shaiver, she has to first bring the ksuba that he can prove that he had written for her. Now, however, if he doesn't bring proof, that's what the Mishnah is saying. She collects her ksuba and he's not believed to say that I did different than what the minig of the city is. Now, however, b'makim shekaisvin, but if it's in a place, and this is the halacha, what Shmuel was saying before, that even b'makim shekaisvin ksuba, if it's b'makim shekaisvin, if he's in a place where they do write a ksuba, v'amru'a loy kasavli, and she says, no, he did not write from me a ksuba. And that is olel lehevi raya. She has to bring a proof that he didn't write a ksuba. Now, therefore, when our Mishnah said that she could collect her ksuba just with her get without presenting a ksuba, and he's going to have to take a receipt, is talking about that she brought proof that he didn't write for her ksuba. Because he didn't write for her ksuba, so that's why she could collect just with a get, and therefore you're right, we never write receipts. And what Shmuel said that the halach of our Mishnah is that she could collect just with a get even without a ksuba, is talking about a place even though they write with a ksuba, but she brought proof that he didn't write it for a ksuba, didn't write her a ksuba, so then what's the concern about when he's going to pay her? Therefore, you pay her because even though she's not producing the ksuba, she's never going to produce it because she didn't get a ksuba. Now, the Gemara actually says, Va'af Rav, that even Rav, who, as we presented him before, said that the Mishnah is only talking about in the place where we don't write a ksuba, and since we don't write a ksuba, that's why ultimately you're going to have to write a shaiva, a receipt, even though generally we don't write a shaiva, is because the only way you collect is, let's say when a woman becomes a widow, is with Edim and with witnesses because you don't collect just with a ksuba. So then she might come to collect with Edim. That's why you need to have a receipt because there's no document to collect from. So on that, the Gemara says that actually Hadube. He also actually retracted and he ended up giving a different interpretation of the Mishnah. And that the Amar Rav, Rav said actually that Bein B'makim Shekaisvin, that it's talking about whether in the place where you write a ksuba, or Bein B'makim She'en Kaisvin, even if it's a place where you don't write, get, when she produces a get without a ksuba, again, which was the first halacha of our Mishnah, then Goyva Iker. When the Mishnah says she collects a ksuba, it means she collects the primary component of the ksuba, which that's the 100, the mana that goes to the amana, or the masayim that goes to the besula. Now, when the Mishnah says that she's collecting, it means the primary, not the additional part, which is a husband could add on as much as he wants to in the ksuba when he's getting married. And ksuba, and when regarding the second case of the Mishnah, when she presents just a ksuba without a get, then goyve tesefes, then although our Mishnah said hadei harei lo yifro, that they don't collect, it means to say that she doesn't collect the primary component of the ksuba, because we're concerned that maybe she collected it based on the get, which she's not presenting now, which, as we said before, that she could collect just with the get. So that's why the second case in the Mishnah said that if she presents just with the ksuba, not with the get, she doesn't collect the primary, but she does collect the added part. And the reason being is because with the get itself, as he just said before, that you collect the ksuba is only the Manah Masayim, not the Tosefes. So you don't have to be concerned when she's coming with the ksuba that she already got it with the get, because the only thing you're collecting with the ksuba without the get is the added part. And Rav concludes, whoever wants to come and ask could come and ask, because there's nothing more to be concerned anymore. This interpretation of the Mishnah by Rav is answers all the questions. Now, on that, the Gemara asked, but it's not. We learned in our Mishnah as follows. It said, ksuba ve'eni maget, which was the second case. If she presents just the ksuba, not the get. So, hi emeres avad giti. She says, look, I lost my get, and therefore, I didn't collect yet my ksuba. I want to be able to collect with the ksuba. V'hu emer avad treibar. He says, no, it's not true. You came, you collected your ksuba with the get, and I tore it up. And that's why you don't have it. And moreover, you even wrote for me a receipt from my inheritors, because then you're going to claim that you're collecting as almana, and so therefore it wouldn't help with a get, because there you don't need a get, and therefore we wrote a receipt. But I lost that receipt. And v'chein b'chayv, a similar case to this was a creditor, shahaytzi shtachayv in my prizbal, where he also has his document, but he doesn't have the prizbal. So the Mishnah says, harei elu lo yifro, that in these cases, the woman and the b'chayv cannot collect. Now, so the Gemara asks as follows. We understand according to Shmuel that he said both the ikka, the primary ksuba itself, and the added part, that the ratio the Mishnah said that you could collect based on the get, and therefore muki. So that's what the second halacha the Mishnah is saying, where you're collecting everything with the get, and therefore when you're presenting without the get, when you come to collect with the ksuba, you can't collect anything. So then muki la. So we understand the second case in the Mishnah, which says that lo yifro is b'makom she'ein kaisben. It's talking about a place where we do not write, where, as we explained from Shmuel, that the ratio of the Mishnah is talking about both b'makom she'kaisben and b'makom she'ein kaisben. So the second case in the Mishnah would be talking about in a place where they generally do not write a ksuba. And that's why the husband is believed when he says that I already paid you when you brought the get, and now you see you don't have the get, you only have the ksuba. Because v'omar, he says that when you came to collect in front of Beis Din, just with your get, so kasafti, I said that kasafti, I wrote to her a ksuba. I said, kasafti, I wrote a ksuba. Meaning, even though the minig amokim is that we don't write a ksuba, I said that I wrote. And I was afraid that you're going to go ahead and you couldn't collect a different time with the ksuba, because although generally a woman could collect with a get, in a place where they don't write a ksuba. But I said that I did write. So Bezin told me, bring a proof. Damrina and Lay, I see Raya. They told me, bring proof, because the Minig HaMokim is not to. You're not believed to not let her collect just with a get without a ksuba if the Minig HaMokim is not write a ksuba. And I didn't find proof. And therefore I had to give you the ksuba with just a get. Because the halach is v'iloy ma'isi raya, if you don't bring proof, amrina lay zil pari. We say, go ahead and pay it up. And they told me to pay it up. And I requested from them that they should write me a receipt then. Because since against my will I have to go ahead and pay up, at least let me have a receipt, because I know you, I really did write you a ksuba. And I knew you're going to do this, and you're going to come and collect later on with a ksuba. And they wrote me a shayv, they wrote me a receipt, and I lost it. Now, so according to Shmuel, that makes sense why he's believed. Because it makes sense that he's believed, because we're told in a place where we don't write in ksubas, and therefore, that's why she was able to collect everything with just the get. But he's believed to say that he went and he paid her up, and he had the receipt, and he lost the receipt. But according to Rav, that he says that the only thing you collect with a get is the primary ksuba, the mana masayim. So the question is, why cannot the woman collect when she presents just with a ksuba without a get? And he did ikulagav, you write the primary ksuba, she can't collect anymore, because where's the get? The get you don't have because I tore it up, because you collected already the mana masayim. But Yosef is Miyatigvi, according to the interpretation of Rav, at least let it collect the additional part, the way he seems to be interpreting the Mishnah, you should be able to collect, because when the Mishnah says in the Reisha that she comes just with the Geta, not the Ksuba, she collects the Ksuba, you said that means just the primary. And then you said when she collects, when she brings the Ksuba without the Get, that she doesn't collect, it means what? It means the Man of Messiah. But the Tesef is you should be able to collect. Why does the Mishnah say, Habrei Leifrau? So Amar Rabbi Yisrael says, Hachmaiskinu, what the Mishnah is talking about is, Kishe ain't shum edi gerishim, that there are no witnesses that a divorce happened. Now, that's why the husband, when she brings just a get, doesn't have to give her even the Tesefes, even though according to Rav's basic halacha that with a ksuba you could collect a Tesefes, it's because she doesn't even have, forget about the get, which the get gets torn up regarding collection, but there's another point the get does. It proves that she's divorced. And not only does she not have the get, there's not even witnesses. No one can even testify that she was divorced. So migad yochel lemeim aloy gerishtia. Since the husband could claim what's called a migo yokoich ataina, you get a better position in your claim, because he could have said something that would have been even better. He could have said, I never divorced you. Forget about collecting anything. You're not even divorced. So that's why, as we continue on Talmud Beis, yochel lemeim gerishtia v'nasati l'ksuba. So that's why he's believed in his claim to say that I divorced her and I gave her the ksuba. So that's why, even according to Rav, she doesn't even collect the Tesefes, because he could claim he paid her up that Tesefes, even though she has a legitimate claim because she has the Ksuba, but he could say, notwithstanding, I could say, you're not even divorced. Now, that the Gemara asks, on this interpretation to resolve the interpretation of Rav in the Mishnah, but Hamadik Tani Seva, but look at the end of the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, he says, he argued on the Tanakama, he says, Menesakana ve'eloch, from the time of danger and on, with the decrees from the non-Jews of keeping mitzvahs, then each gave a ksuba shleb get. The woman could collect a ksuba even without a get. Ubal chayiv shleb pruzel, a creditor without even this pruzel. As we explained, because that's not a claim that they don't have the pruzel or the get, because it's dangerous to hold on to these things. But they do have their ksuba, and they do have their debt. They have the deed, and if we believe them, that they had the pruzel and the get. Now, the Gemara asks, that obviously, but the ik ede gerishin naskin. Obviously, if the Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that from this same halacha, the same case, but minasakana ve'elach, she could collect with a ksuba without a get, must be told that there are witnesses that there was a divorce. Because the ilek ede gerishin, if there's no witnesses that there's a divorce, but my gavya, then how could she collect the ksuba? What with a ksuba? You're a married woman. How do you know that you're even divorced? And therefore must be talking about that there are witnesses at least that she was divorced. If there's witnesses, so then the interpretation that the Gemara just said to resolve Rav doesn't make sense. Because you said the reason why he's believed, even for the Tesevis when she presents the Ksuba, is because there's no witnesses. But obviously there are witnesses. So the Gemara answers that, says that's not a question. Because Ela Kulu Shemim Lil, we could say that the whole mission is actually Shemim Lil, and there's no Machloikis. But Chesur Mechzer Bachitani, there are words missing, and this is the way the text should be said. And then we could understand Rav. The Mishnah said, Hare Eidu Lo Yifro, as we said regarding the halacha, when she comes just with a ksuba without a get, she cannot collect. Now, and that is as the Gemara had interpreted, these are the words that are missing. That when did we say this halacha that she can't collect, even the Tesefes, when there's no witnesses even that she got divorced, and she doesn't have the get either in this case. But if there are witnesses of the divorce, then as Rav had interpreted, then she could collect the Tesefes. Because even though there's no get, we know she's divorced, and the get that's torn up, that only proves that she can't collect the mana on Messiah. Now, the ikar, the primary ksuba, then imafke gita gavi. If she presents the get, then she collects that. V'loy mafke gita loy gavi. But if she doesn't present it, then she cannot collect. And again, as we said before, because we're concerned that maybe she already collected the primary ksuba by presenting the get, because now she's only coming with the ksuba. But we know she's divorced because there were witnesses. On that, the Mishnah continues, because it's all one tana, but from the time of danger and on, then even if she doesn't present her get, she collects. Because it's one opinion. That is because Reb Shimon Gamliel says, again, as we said, because there's no reason that it's not a claim against them why they don't have that, because no one has it, because it's dangerous to their life. I think Rav's resolved the interpretation of Rav in the Mishnah, which, as we said before, that he ultimately retracted and agreed to Shmuel that the Mishnah is talking about both b'makom shekesvin kesuba or b'makom shein kesvin kesuba, although a very different interpretation than Shmuel, which was based on his principle that we're never concerned for her bringing out something else to collect, because again, each one collects something else. The get collects the Iker Kesuba, and the Kesuba collects the Tosefes Kesuba, which was different than Shmuel's interpretation of that. Although the Mishnah is Tumah both, but Makom Shekaisvin, Makom Sheinkaisvin, he says because whichever one is the default, then the other one has to bring a proof. But again, according to Rav, the primary idea is that each one is collecting something else, and therefore not concerned that you'll bring out the other type of document, because that cannot collect for what the other one is for. But now the Gemara asks a different question on Rav, on the basic of his halacha itself. So Amar le Rav Kahana Rav Asi l'Rav. Rav Kahana Rav Asi said to Rav, L'didacht amret get goy ve'ikr, according to you that you say that a get collects the primary ksuba, the ksuba collects the added part of the tesefes, then the question becomes as follows. Almana minan esuba ma'igabe. What happens? How does a widow from marriage collect her ksuba? In other words, there's two ways you collect the ksuba, either by being divorced or by being widowed. So how does a widow collect her ksuba? Obviously not through a get. I mean, you said the primary ksuba, the mona mesayim, is through the get. But a widow doesn't have a get. So how does she collect her ksuba? So obviously it's be'edei misa. When she brings witnesses that her husband died, which makes her eligible for collecting her ksuba. So then when she collects her ksuba, she goes in and she returns the document of the ksuba to the inheritors, and they tear it up. Now the problem is, we should be concerned that maybe he divorced her. And then umafke legita, what's going to happen is that she's going to go bring her get into a different court, the gavya bay, and she's going to collect the primary ksuba in a different court by saying, look, I'm divorced. And you said that we know the halacha for the Mishnah is that a get could collect without a ksuba. And you said that the get itself collects the ikar mana masayim. So the question is, if she's collecting as a widow, according to you, that collects just by the husband being dead, not with the ksuba, because the ksuba is not for the ikar mana masayim, according to you. That's just for the tesefes. So if, when she gets widowed, she's going to collect just by witnesses that her husband died, the mana masayim and the tesefes with the ksuba, and she'll give that back to the yershim, but she still has her get, if she was really divorced, and after the divorce her husband died, then she'll take the get, and according to you, the get has the worth of the mana masayim, and she'll collect that in a different court. So that the Gemara says, no, that's not a question on Rav, because a widow doesn't collect her ksuba unless if we recognize that she was with him, that at the time of his death, she was b'yeshevas tachas b'ayla, that she lived with him. You're right. If they didn't live together, and therefore we can suspect that maybe they were divorced, she actually wouldn't collect just by being widowed. And this halacha that we say that she collects a ksuba by just being widowed is only if we know they were living together at the time. Because if not, you're right, we're concerned that she has the get, and she'll collect in a different court. The Gemara still asks, b'dema samach l'misa girsha, maybe he divorced her right before he died, and therefore maybe she really is divorced, and she has a get, and she'll collect. Another Gemara says, Ihu hu dehavsev nafshe. If that's the case, then he's causing a loss to himself. What should we do, really? You know, maybe the moment before he died, a widow has to be able to collect the ksuba. So maybe right before he had just divorced, and then he just happened to die, that's a loss he brings on to himself. And then anyway, fine, that's a concern that they'll have to worry about, that she might collect with that get. But the Gemara continues to ask. So fine, we understand almana min anisun. But almana min erusin. But what do you do with a widow from engagement that never lived with him? They don't live together until they get married. But my gavya, how does she collect? There's no get. Obviously, be'edim misa, when she brings witnesses that the chasen died. But v'leichesh demagirsha, they're for sure a legitimate tain against Rav. But maybe he divorced her. Maybe they didn't. The way they were engaged, and they gave her a get, which you have to give for biblical kedushin. But then she's going to present, besides collecting the ksuba when she was widowed, then she's going to go out and present the get. And there you can't say that it was only when they lived together, because obviously a widow of an erison who never lived together does collect the ksuba. So the Gemara says, you're right, that regarding a widow collecting, we don't have to say that it was only when they were living together at the moment that he died. Because actually, even if he goes overseas, and we hear that he died, that she's going to be able to go ahead and collect her ksuba. But b'makim deloy efsher, in a situation where it's not possible, like by a widow, then you're right, kasvinan shayver. Then we do write a receipt. In other words, she collects her ksuba, and we're not concerned that maybe he divorced her, and therefore when she's getting widowed, she's going to collect the ksuba, and then she's going to collect again with the get. Because we tell them that fine, If you're really concerned that maybe your father divorced her and then maybe a few minutes later or a day later he died, and we have no reason to believe this, so then write a receipt. And the reason is because where we have no reason to suspect that there's some type of a scam going on over here, and we won't be able to collect if you have all these concerns that maybe this, maybe that. So for example, it's like in such a case, or where she has witnesses that her ksuba was burnt, then we don't stop her from collecting ksuba. And although you're going to say, wait a second, although she has witnesses that her ksuba was burnt, but maybe she's going to take the get which she could collect the mana masayim with somewhere else. So we say, fine, so write a receipt. Because if there's no way out of that, and there's no reason why we should suspect not to allow the person to collect, we say, write a receipt. As the Gemara proves this, because if you don't say this, that when it's not possible, then you actually do write a receipt, even though we know the halach is, as we've been proving at Amarav, that we don't write receipts, then Eide Misa Gufayu. Then what do you mean? Then even the witnesses who testify that the husband died, in other words, let's say in a place where they don't write a ksuba, and the inheritors cannot tell her, so give us back the shtar of a ksuba, where the only way she collects is just by saying that he's dead, because there's no ksuba here to take back. So then, Neichesh, there you should be concerned. Dilma mafke de misa b'hai beidin of agavi. Maybe she's going to bring witnesses that her husband died, and she's going to collect in this court. V'hadda mafke b'beidin achrin of agavi. Then she's going to bring two witnesses in another court and collect again, because what are you going to disprove? Where's the ksuba? We don't write ksubas. Where's the get? There's no get. My husband died. Right, obviously, and this is the Gemara's conclusion, in a place where it's not possible, you write a receipt because there's no way to protect against that. So that will answer your question also over here regarding Almana. You ask Almana and Erison, maybe she was divorced. You're right, we don't know. So write a receipt. And therefore, although we generally don't, in such situations we do. Now the Gemara continues related to the Gemara's previous discussion that had brought in a question from Almana and Erison on to Rav's halacha. So the Gemara discusses that topic now. Amalei Mar Kashisha Barid Rav Chizda Rav Ashi. Mar Kashisha, who was the son of Rav Chizda, which Rashi explains there were two sons to Rav Chizda, and actually they both had the same name. It's just that the older son they would call Mar Kashisha, which means the elder, and the younger one they called Mar Yanuka, which means the younger one. So be that as it may, Mar Kashisha, son of Rav Chizda, said to Rav Ashi, he said, Amona min the Erison, where there, she has a ksuba based on the condition of Bezdin that every woman that gets married, and we see that even when she gets engaged, that even if he didn't write her ksuba, Minolan Disla ksuba, from where do we know that she has a ksuba? Because the Gemara just brought previously that regarding when there are just witnesses that the husband died, that then we should be concerned, we said. Because we said, wait a second, if according to Rav, the only thing that she needs to collect is for the primary ksuba, is the mana masayim, is to get, but that's when she gets divorced. When she gets widowed, we said that it's just the fact that her husband died. So there you bring two witnesses. So the Gemara said, okay, so amanim and nesuin, we have a way out to understand it, because it's only when she's next to him, when they're living together. But amanim and areas in which she's not living with him at all, how do we know that maybe she's not going to go ahead and after she collects, because she's a widow, going to bring out the get and collect because of that she's divorced? So what Mar Kashisha is asking, that obviously we see at least one of the two times that we're concerned for, where she's collecting twice instead of once, she's doing it without a document. The reason being is because the first time she collects, she returns the shtar, if it was written for her ksuba. Now we're concerned that maybe when she's come to collect the second time, because she's claiming she was divorced, so she's going to collect, obviously, with just the get, without the ksuba. So obviously, if she could collect without a ksuba, that there is an inherent ksuba for an arusa, even though a ksuba wasn't written for her. Another question is, where do we know this from? We know that a nesua has. How do we know that an arusa also gets a ksuba? So the Gemara says, Ilei Mimaha, if you're going to answer me by saying from the Mishnah Daf Nun Dalma Beis, which seemed to clearly say, it said, Nisarmala in Nisgarisha, if a woman gets widowed or divorced, Beimin Erisin, Beimin Nisuin, whether from engagement or from marriage. So the Mishnah said over there, Goyves HaKol, she collects everything, both the primary, the Ikar of the Ksuba, which is every woman gets, Amana if she's Amana, or Masayim if she's a Besula, and the Tesefis. But that, he says, that's not a proof. Dilma the Kasavla. Maybe that Mishnah is talking about when he wrote for a ksuba, then yes, it applies even when she's engaged. But how do we know there's a Tanai Bezin that every woman, just like by marriage, gets a ksuba, so too from engagement? because we see from the Gemara's previous question that we assume that she does get. Now, v'chitem, and if you're going to say that e kasav lo my lememra, that if I would disprove your proof from that Mishnah of Nunbezim Abez by saying that it's only when she wrote, when it was written for her, but if it wasn't written, maybe she wouldn't get it, then why would the Mishnah have to tell us that halacha? Of course, if you wrote, you wrote. On that, I would tell you no. That wouldn't disprove my disproving of the raya, because lafukim in the Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. There was a necessity of saying that halacha over there to exclude from what Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah said. Because Damar, he said, shaloi kasavla, he said that the tesefes, the added on part to the ksuba, was not written to his kala, ela menashu kainza, only with the intention of ultimately consummating their relationship and getting married. And therefore, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah held that if he dies when they were still engaged, she does not get the tesefes and only gets the ikar ksuba. And therefore, that's why we have to say, you're right, maybe there's no raya from there. And the halacha that she gets a ksuba from Erisin is only when he wrote it. But if he didn't write it, then the Tanai Bezin wouldn't be that she automatically gets it. So what would be the necessity of writing that if he wrote it, that she gets it? It's coming to say that not only does she get the ikar ksuba, but that she even gets, when he writes it, even the tesefes, not like Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah. And the Gemara actually says, Deke Nami Diktani, actually a precise reading of the Mishnah there seems to indicate that he wrote it for her, and it's not talking about the default Tanai Bezin of ksuba that Arusa automatically gets. Because what's the words in the Mishnah? Goyves hakol. She collects everything, even if she's not among them in the Erisin. Now, if you say it's talking about the way I'm refuting the interpretation that it's talking about only that he wrote it for her, but it's not automatically saying that she by default gets it. That's why we understand the terminology that says that she collects everything, both the ikar, which is every woman gets, and the tesefes that he wrote for her. Because if you would think to bring a proof in that Mishnah that is talking about that he didn't even write for a ksuba, and the reason why she's collecting ksuba from Erisin when he dies is because of the Tanai Bezdin, which is the Maisa Bezdin, that Bezdin requires every woman to get a ksuba. Well, then, my goyve es hakel, what does it mean, the words that she collects everything? What do you mean? Either mana, which the 100 is for al-mana, a widow, or masayim, 200, which is for a besula, who the is, that's all she gets, because there's no quote tesefes. What's goyves hakoil? Hakoil means to say not only ikur, but even the tesefes. So obviously it's not a proof, because if it told my tesefes too, must be that he wrote it for her, because you only get more when you write more, and therefore there's no proof from there. So the element of Tani Rav Chiya Bar Oven. So where are you going to arrive from? From the Braisa that Rav Chiya Bar Oven taught. The Braisa says, Ishte Arusa. If a man has a woman that is engaged to that died, so loy einen. So he does not have the halachas of an oinin, which is a close relative that dies on that day, to be forbidden to partake of kachim. And v'loy mitamala, if he's a kohen, although a kohen is allowed to be mitama himself, make himself richly impure to his wife, which it says in the Teresh Eiroi, here where he was just engaged to her and she died, he's not allowed to be mitama himself to her. And v'chein he, same thing goes regarding her, where if he dies, loy inenes, she's not a oinenes to be forbidden to kachim that day, when her chasen dies, and v'lemitamala, that, as Rashi explains, we're not talking about a bas koyin that's forbidden to be mitama to her husband, because there's no isra of tuma for b'nai saren. It just means that she's not obligated to be involved with and to be mitama herself to her chasen that died, which is both a kahanis or yisra elis. Because as Rashi explains, although there is a mitzvah to be mitama to the mason that are written there in the parasha, as the pasuk says in Mika Chavalf, la yitama, that he should be mitama himself to her, whoever the close relatives are. Here, this is what we're saying, that here she's not obligated because she was only engaged and not married. And as we said, it's obviously not talking about a kahanis because there's no isra tuma on the women of the kahanim. Now, the Braisa continues, Mesa, if she dies, ein yarsha, he does not inherit her. The reason being is because regarding the inheritance of the husband of the wife, it says, she'eroi l'she'era karel of mimishpachtoi, then miyarsha, so then he inherits her. From there we learn out that the husband inherits, but that's only when they're married, not when they're engaged. And mace who, if he dies, and again they were only engaged, goyva ksubasa, she collects her ksuba. So you see seemingly from this brisa clearly, that even though it's talking about a case of ishtei arusa, when he dies, she collects her ksuba. So that the Gemara again says, no, it's no raya. Dilma de kasavla, maybe it's talking about that he wrote for a ksuba. If he wrote it, then yes, she gets a ksuba, even from engagement. But who said there's the Tanai Bezdin of default of a woman that's engaged to get it? Because that was the assumption of the Gemara before, We were told about that one time of the two times that she's not allowed, that she's been collecting without that. Now, and if you're saying that it's talking about that he wrote a ksuba in that brisa, so what was the need to write that if he dies, she collects a ksuba? Of course, he wrote it for her. On that, the Gemara says, the mesa in the yersha is trechalei. That the necessity of that was for the halacha of that when she dies, he doesn't inherit her. In other words, because of that halacha, we had to also say in the brisa that when he dies, she collects the ksuba. In other words, to teach us the following chiddush. That even though we're talking about that he wrote her a ksuba, as we just explained, how do we know it's talking that he wrote her the ksuba? Because as we're explaining that the Bryce is talking about, that when he dies, as when they're engaged, that she gets the ksuba, is because he wrote it. Now, even though he wrote a ksubatar, and that means to say they were so close to each other, and they wanted to get married, and that's why he wrote a ksuba when they were engaged, in spite of that, he doesn't inherit her. And that's the chiddush of that. The chiddush of this halacha, you're right, there's no chiddush per se of saying that if he wrote her ksuba, that she gets it, of course. It's to say for the other halacha that even though he wrote her ksuba, but when she dies, he does not inherit her. And therefore, again, there's no raya to see, even when he doesn't write it, that she gets it. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara, not bringing a definitive proof, how we know that an arusa gets a ksuba as a maisa bezin, even when it wasn't written. Now the Gemara continues asking on Rav's interpretation that we had from Amar Aleph. Amar Le Rav Nachman Rav Huna. He says, Rav, the Amar Get Goyve Iker, he defined this dichotomy of what happens with these two elements, that a Get collects only the Iker Ksuba, and the Ksuba collects the Tesefis. So according to Rav, that the Get collects the primary, well then Leichish, you have a very simple concern. Dilma Mafke Gita Bahai Beidin of a Gavir. What is she going to do? If it's a ksuba, if you assume like Shmuel, that a ksuba, everything's in the ksuba, and you collect the ksuba, and that's it, you're done with that. So, but they said, then you're done with that, you tear it up and you're done. But according to Rav, that the get is what collects, so then you should be concerned that she might come to this court and collect. Then she's going to come to a different court and collect. Now, if you're going to say, as we were explaining all along in the sugya, no, of course not, you're right. We tear up our get. You don't have a ksubi collecting with your get, so then we tear up the get. But that the question is, Amar Bi'ina Lin Suvibe. She's going to say, what do you mean? I need the get to be able to get married with it. In other words, there's at least two functions with the get. One is that it can be used as a collection for the basic ksuba. But another thing is that it's a proof that I'm divorced because people are going to say, we can't get married to you. You're a married woman. So how can you tear it up? So if you're not going to tear it up, so we have to be concerned, according to Rav, that you could collect the Mona Messiah with the get, that she's been collected in another bezin. So I think my answer is no, the Karina line. We do tear up the get. But the Chasvin Agabe, we write on it, the Gita Denan Karinu, we tore up this get. La Mishum the Gita Paslu, not because it's invalid get. This woman is divorced and she could show this torn get to be able to get remarried. The reason why we ripped it up was that she shouldn't use it for collection again of her ksuba. And if it's not a difficulty, she can use it as a proof, but that'll be enough to not allow her to collect a second time. Now the Gemara continues again with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme about when a woman's coming to collect her ksuba. So the Mishnah says as follows. The Mishnah says, Shnei gitin v'shtei ksubas. If a woman has two divorce documents and two ksubas, two dowries. Now, as Rashi points out, the date that's written in the first ksuba is dated before the date of the first get, and the date of the second ksuba is written after that, is written before the date of the second get. So on that, the Mishnah says, goy v'shtei ksubas, so then she collects two ksubas, because obviously what happened over here was that he had a ksuba written for her when he got married to her, then he divorced her, then he remarried her, and he wrote her a second ksuba, and then he divorced her again. So those are two different marriages, it collects two different ksubas. However, the inference of this is, which is going to be related to the next halachas of the Mishnah, is if let's say both of the dates of the ksubas are dated before the first get, then actually not. She wouldn't collect two ksubas. And the reason is because when he remarried her, he didn't write for her a ksuba. Because even if we have two divorce documents and two ksubas, but since both of the ksubas were written before the first get, and we don't have any ksuba that's written after that, as we learn at the end of our Mishnah, when you have two ksubas and one get, she only collects one. What we learn from that is because when someone writes to his wife two ksubas, she only collects one of them. As we're going to explain that halacha, that's regarding the first time she gets divorced. Now, if you're going to say, but still she got divorced and she got remarried again, that the Mishnah says also a different halacha. When there's one kesuba and two gittin, she also only gets one kesuba. The reason being is because since he didn't write a new kesuba, when he remarried her based on that old kesuba, not to give her, award her a new kesuba when she gets divorced a second time, but rather based on that first kesuba. So therefore, this first halacha of the Mishnah is talking about that the when you get two gittin and two kesubas, that you're going to collect both, is when the date of the first kesuba is before the first get, and the date of the second kesuba is before the second get. Now, however, as we just alluded to this before, shtei kesubas v'get echad, if a woman has two kesubas and one get, where both of them were written before the get, so the Gemara is going to ask exactly what's the purpose, why would a husband write two kesubas when they're married for the first marriage and one get, but either be that as it may, when there's two kesubas and one get, oy kesuba v'shnei gittin, or if there was one kesuba written with two gittin, and that is the kesuba was written the first time they got married, then he divorced her, then he remarried her, and he didn't write a kesuba, and then he went and divorced her again. Oy kesuba v'get, or similar, where there's a kesuba, then a get, then he remarried her, and then umisa, then from the second marriage he died. So regarding all these three cases, ina goyva el kesuba achas, she only collects one kesuba. And the reason being for these last two halachas is, shamagarish es ishtoi v'chzira, because when a person divorces his wife and remarries her, without writing a new kesuba, almanas kesuba harishon v'chzira. It's with the intention of remarrying her based, we're going right back where we were originally. And your original kesuba is the same kesuba, I'm not giving you a new kesuba. And that's why she collects only one kesuba. Now, the Gemara asks regarding the case of two kesubas and one get, where we learned that she only gets one kesuba. Now, the diuk, the inference of this halacha, the Mishnah is, it doesn't say that she only has the last kesuba. It just says she gets one of them. So obviously we see the Gemara says that ibaya, if she prefers, b'hai gavi, she could collect with the first kesuba that was written, to be able to collect from an earlier date from the kuchais, because his nechasim become a shubid from the moment the kesuba is written, and ibaya b'hai gavi, if she wants, she could collect with the later written kesuba. But it's not like it's either one or the other. She could choose. So now, on that, the Gemara asks, Lema tabatu yiftu Rav Nachman and Mishmul. Let's say this refutes the halacha of Nachman and Mishmul. Dam Rav Nachman and Mishmul, he said, Shnei shtaris hayoytzen b'zachar zeh. He said that when there's two documents that are given one after another, in other words, there's one of them has an earlier date than the other one, and they're both regarding the same loan or regarding the same sale. So he says, Bitel Sheni Asarishin. He says the second document nullifies and invalidates the first document, and therefore the person can only collect from the second date. And the reason being is because since the person wrote a second document, obviously the one who took the second document was Meichel and forgave the lien and the responsibility and the validation of the first document. That's why they took the second one. So according to Nachum Mishmul, it seems to be refuted from our Mishnah, because our Mishnah says that you can't get both, but we mean to say, but you get one of them. It doesn't say which one. You could choose whichever one. But according to him, it should be only the second one, not the first one. So I think my answer is, Lavit Marla, didn't we really qualify his statement, and therefore it's not contradicted from our Mishnah? That Amar Papa, he said, Rav Nachman agrees, the Eisiv Beidikla, that if in the second document he added on, let's say as a sale, another tree in the sale, that L'toisefes Kasvei, that it was written a second document, not as a way of forgiving the lien of the first document to nullify it, but rather as an addition. And therefore, it wouldn't say that it's invalid in the first one. Now, obviously, you can't collect with both of them, from the fact that it didn't write in the second document that I want and I want to add on to the first one. Rather, he's adding on something else to the second document, and since it wasn't mentioned by the first document, so what he's essentially saying is, look, and like in the case of this context that we're talking about over here with a kesuba, is that he says, look, if you want to forgo on the earlier date, which allows you to collect earlier, then you can go ahead and if you want to forgive that earlier date, then you could collect with the second kesuba I'm giving you, that's a larger amount. If not, look, you could collect from an earlier date from Lekuchas, but you're going to get less. And therefore, yes, the halacha of the Mishnah is true, whichever one she wants, she could choose and she collect with. This is actually how we explained the earlier paragraph of Mendalam Abeis, that when did Rav Nachman say his halacha that the second one nullifies the first one? That's only when nothing was added. Because if nothing was added, then why did he write it? Obviously, it's because it's nullifying the first one. But on that, we said that if you're adding something, it was added, it was written for the addition. So hachanami, but that's what the Gemara is saying here is also that yes, she could choose whichever ketubah she wants. She's not going to get both because he's not adding on to the first one. He's writing a different shtar, but the second one added a little bit more, and that's the choice that's given to her. Because the only reason why Rav Nachman says halacha that it nullifies if it's the same exact, must be they were meichel the first one. But when something is added, then she gets to choose which one. Now, related to this discussion, the Gemara brings Tarban Elin Abraisa. Haitziya get uksuba umisa. If a woman presents to Beis Din a divorce document, a ksuba, and witnesses that her husband died. Now, she's coming to collect two ksubas. One is because as a grusha, and one is because as an almana, as a widow. So, on that, the Gemara continues the top of Tzadi Med Aleph, that says like this, im get koidim l'ksuba, if the get, she's bringing three different things. So if the ksuba was dated after the get, obviously this is a second ksuba that was written to her when he remarried her a second time. Well, then gavishtei ksubas, then she could collect two ksubas. One is because the first one, she got divorced, that ksuba was dated after that divorce. Obviously, there's a different ksuba for that one. So as we explained from Rav, with the get itself, even without the ksuba, you could collect them on the Masai. The second get, the second ksuba, which is when she gets widowed from, that she collects as an almana. So there you can collect both. But if ksuba kedemes leget, but if the ksuba is written, dated before the get, well then in the goy bel ksuba achas. Then she could only collect one ksuba, and that's like the halacha of our Mishnah. Shemegarash as ishta bechzir, because a man that divorces his wife and remarries her, which is the case over here, amanas ksuba harishay nechzir. It's only with the intention of the original ksuba that he remarries her, so it depends when the ksuba is dated. If it's dated, as the Gemara is saying now, before the get, so although there was a ksuba, divorce, then remarried and died, when he remarried her, since he didn't write it, she's not presenting a new ksuba, he didn't write a new ksuba, it's based on the original ksuba that was written by the first time he was married to her, and therefore she's only going to collect one ksuba and not two ksubas.